The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Third hour together. It's not our last hour together today. Oh, no. But I'm not back for lunchtime. I'm not doing Prager today. Doing Elder today. So I'm your breakfast buddy and your dinner time pal, or just your front seat buddy on the way home. Because Larry Elder, your 5 to 8 p.m. Talk show friend, is out today and tomorrow, and I can't do tomorrow. They asked, but I said, got some people in town. But tonight I can, so I'm in. I live to serve as best I can, and so I will be with you today, 5 to 8 p.m., and boy, do we have material. President Trump out speaking some truth among the NATO allies, and people are freaking out. Here comes a constitutionalist Supreme Court justice, and people are freaking out. And here comes at least a half a requirement from the NFL that you keep your flag hating in the locker room, and the players are freaking out. So all of those, there's kind of a common thread there that you might have noticed, and the unifying theme among all of them is that, how can I phrase it, that rules mean something. And I don't even know if I really mean rules. But some of them are unwritten. Some of them are traditions. Some of them are laws. You know, but whether it is the obligation we used to have to subjugate our political peeves to a moment of unifying love of country, that used to be kind of a social compact that we had. Not anymore. A president who would go out and it was just understood that the president of the United States was the president of the United States and not just some global elite looking to achieve some equilibrium among all the nations of the world. No, the president of the United States is looking out for us, number one, us, U.S., number one. And that used to be the case. And guess what? Now it is again, and everybody's having heart attacks and nervous breakdowns. I've got this delicious audio of President Trump at that big NATO table with Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, who's a wonderful man, I'm sure. Everybody I know from Norway is delightful. Six people, but they're all delightful. But it's just everybody's just having a cow because we are rediscovering patriotism, rediscovering love of country, rediscovering a notion of placing American interests first. And it has been so not like that for so long, that's how you know the change is real. So a number of issues on that front. Okay, hey, here's cool news. Wednesday of next week, guess what we have? Listener lunch, woohoo! Crossroads Diner, 11:30. So if this is something you think you can make, actually, if this is something you know you can make, we don't get loosey-goosey on this. You securing these seats will be something that is a blood oath that you're coming. I know stuff comes up, and if that's the case, call us. Don't worry about it. But we're going to start to fill up that room. Crossroads Diner, northeast corner of Preston and Campbell, Wednesday, 11:30. So one of the ways we do that is the password. I'm about to give you a password, and then when I ask it back of you, that's a convoluted sentence, when I ask for it, which is going to be pretty soon, we've only got 48 minutes of show left, you hop to the Mark Davis Show Facebook page, the Mark Davis Show Facebook page. Rhonda will have placed the template that says, hey, what was that password? And then you put it in the comments section, not a personal message to her or to me, in the comments section, just do the password, and then there you are. And then we'll get back. The first, we'll do like the first three or the first four, something like that. And you and a plus one get to go to the listener lunch next Wednesday. First timers only, please. Trying to spread the love. So let's see. Okay, got one. Here we go. Here's what we're going to ask for a little later on in the hour. Because, well, ready? Da-da-da. Here we go.
The password is NATO.
Yeah, that works. Good acronym. All right.
The password is NATO.
N-A-T-O. North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO. So when we go asking for that, hop to the Facebook page. Don't do it now. It's not there yet. It will be when I ask for it. And Rhonda will have placed it there in the first time. What do you want to do? Want to do three? Want to do four? Five. Whoa, she's generous. That's a good idea. The first five of you who give us that password correctly. Well, and by, if you see that five have already done it, and you go, oh, I lost. Wah, wah, wah. Nah. Because frequently we'll get a hold of somebody who's like third and go, oh, I just was trying to win something. I don't think I can go. Or my favorite, I live in like Saskatchewan. I'm just, you know, having some fun. So if you see, we'll go sometimes 10 deep before we get our five. So just go ahead and reply at will when I go asking for that, which will be here in clearly just a few minutes. Right now, though, at 9:14, it is telephone time, 866-660-5759. Whoa, this is cool. Is that Parker County or Parker, Colorado? Let's find out. Mark, are you in Colorado?
I am. You do some ice fishing, do you?
Well, well, the only Parker I know in Colorado is like southeast of Denver.
Yes, that's where I live.
That is so cool. By what happy instance do we have you here?
Well, I've been calling you kind of regular lately and been improving your show every week.
Well, I am grateful. It's clearly memorable. I'm kidding. I love it. Yes. I'm glad you're here. What's up today?
Well, I do love listening to you. You beat everybody in the Denver market.
Oh,
so
you know what? Now, you know what? I do remember because you made a reference to Peter Boyle.
I'm
sorry.
Conspiracy theorist.
I don't know what's going on other people's shows, but you said something very nice about me in view of the very vibrant Denver talk radio market, and
exactly.
I appreciate it. So what's in your head today?
I want to – so your attitude towards the NFL could be summarized and encapsulated by – I'm going to quote a movie I've never seen one scene from. I just can't quit you. So that's from Brokeback Mountain.
That is correct. I wish I could quit you.
I think the only way we're going to, first of all, this flag thing, this kneeling controversy, is a very big deal. It's bigger than politics because it's culture. Politics is downstream from culture, as Andrew Breitbart famously coined the phrase. And it's so true. And until we as conservatives take back the culture, until we can insert God and country and patriotism and respect back into the culture, it doesn't matter what we do on the political side. We're going to lose every time.
I've heard Andrew say that, and I've heard it in person. I went to a couple of Tea Party things he did here in DFW, and I love him and I miss him and God rest him. And the point is, and it's a good one, and the reason why is that political battles are very of the moment. That the political battle that you win today, you could lose tomorrow. And they're all important. It's about borders and this and that. I mean, 100 important things. But the culture is concrete that sets, and when it sets, it sets. And it's very hard to jackhammer it up and change it. So
there's no way we can do it, though.
Yeah, and I think it's...
Money talks and BS walks.
It does.
The NFL will respond if they continue to lose viewers, which they did in spades last year.
Yep. And that's what led them to this I need a synonym for half-assed, for this half-hearted, weak response that they had, which was, okay, we're not going to let you kneel on the sidelines, but if you can't bring yourself to do the anthem, stay in the locker room. Like, that's going to work well for everybody. You're right about the battle of the culture. It is underway, and that's another reason why people are freaking out. This isn't just losing a political battle of this year or next year. It is the left feels that it may be losing its grip on the way in which they have strangled society and dragged it in their direction, essentially since FDR. So superb point, sir. Thank you. Best you up in Colorado, and give us a buzz anytime. The thing about the culture is that it informs politics. If we have a country that has a shared patriotism, it can guide our politics. Doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. But it will guide and inform and humanize our politics. If we have a culture that is more friendly to God, and it doesn't mean forced church attendance or you've got to be a certain religion, not at all. But it just means that we don't mock or deride or attack people because of faith. That will give a maturity and a calm and a peace to our interactions, no matter how vivid they may become. Just any one of a number of other broad cultural things that have just been lost. They've been smashed against the rocks by stuff the left has done for, and I mean it, I'm not talking about during Obama or even Obama and Clinton or even Obama and Clinton and LBJ. I mean, going back to FDR. And by the way, FDR, thank you, sir, for winning World War II. Awesome. Love that. But that's where, and it was FDR who invoked God himself right at the era of D-Day. And so this was a person with God in mind, Franklin Roosevelt. But ideologically, that's who gave us expansionist collectivist government. That's where it's modern incarnation that grips us and strangles us to this day. In Frisco. Hey, Paul, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good. Hey, first off, just I loved that last call you just had with the guy from Colorado.
Yeah, cool.
And right before that, you did the password. You sounded just like the guy from the 60s on the password show.
Well, that's the entire point. That was the entire, because Alan Ludden was the host, and the audience was there, and the person holding the password had it, and their job was to give it to the other person, and you would see it superimposed on the screen in that 1963 goofy black and white, and he would go like, I can't do another one. They'll think that's it. And the guy would whisper, the password, because you couldn't hear it in the studio. Exactly right. Exactly right.
You nailed it. I appreciate that.
Thank you, man.
Hey, a couple of things on just clarifying a couple of things from your second hour. You'd mentioned that if somebody hurt your family, you'd outright just take them out. Pretty strong, just kill them.
That would be my urge.
I'm with you. But for clarity, because we're Christians, for the guys listening out there.
Yeah.
Would you just expand on that?
Yeah, you're right. Because every once in a while, you're just kind of blathering, and I know I am. Because for those who are wondering about the quote, I said, you know what? If the next kid attacked in a Whataburger is mine, there'll be charges filed against that person and filed against me too. Because I'll find that guy and rip him limb from limb.
Yeah.
Okay, here's how it would go. That would be exactly the urge I would have. That would be exactly the instinct I would have. Both the law and the Lord would require better of me. And I would pay attention to both.
Yep, I'm with you on that, because your next statement, you mentioned Maxine Waters, and you mentioned like, well, 1% are kind of like her, just kind of whacked out. But how about we on our side, which I believe the conservative, common sense thinker, mm-hmm. how about if we assume that, 99% of them are kind of whacked out, so we're not always apologizing about that 1%. What if we be more aggressive and we say, wait a minute, you're a lib, you're like Maxine, you're all like her, and you got to prove you're not. Because I think if we don't, they're going to end up taking the high road continuously where it's fake.
But what would that look like though? Because
I'd rather deal
truthfully and honestly. I mean, there are people, and again, it's not the same thing. But when we're all sitting here trying to figure out how many of the Muslims want to kill us, after 9/11, last week I could have taken calls. Well, Mark, I just presume they all are, because you never know. And that's just not the way to live. It's not the way to be. I think that in fact, here's the common thread I would draw. Whether the question is how many of the Islamic folk want to kill us, or how many of the left will really literally attack us in public, find the ones who do, find the ones who seem like they will, and address that forthrightly, boldly, and toughly. And toughly, is that even a word? And leave the other ones alone. I think I sleep better at night that way, and I think you probably would too.
Well, it's good feedback. I was thinking about President Trump because when he did the travel ban, it was on the entire country.
Right.
They've got to prove that they're friendly.
But that's a different criterion. Rather than just interpersonal relationships and people you run into at work or on the street or at the gas station or whatever, there's an obligation of being a good and decent person as you walk around and experience the world. As a country, asking the question, whom are we going to allow into this country if there's an appreciable number of people from some failed state filled with global jihadists? Hey, life's unfair. We're going to tell that entire flipping country, you know what? Until you guys get your you-know-what together, your passports are not accepted here. And that's perfectly okay. Awesome, awesome call. What's with you people today? You're doing great. I love it. Well, you don't do every day, but this is awesome stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, 923, Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. How awesome is that? Sounds that will never be heard again. The 2400 BPS modem. Too good, too good. Alrighty. Sound you'll hear in about 60 seconds is Nikki Whaley in the newsroom for Gordon. In that intervening minute or ish or whatever you want to do here, we're in McKinney. Hey, Paul. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was just calling about this NFL thing. You know, all of these guys grew up in America where they had to go to school and say the Pledge of Allegiance. But here they turn around and they get to the NFL making millions of dollars yep. playing the sport.
Yep.
And not one of them is willing to step out there and complain or put their money where their mouth is as far as this abuse that the cops are doing to people.
How do you mean?
You don't hear anything in the media these guys out doing that.
Meaning, okay, what would you want them to do? What do you mean putting their money where their mouth is?
Well, I'm just saying, as far as if they think that there's such a big problem with the police,
right.
why don't they go out and they talk to the police and sit down with the police and try to figure out a solution to this problem.
I think that as all the attention has been given to those who have knelt and shown disrespect to our nation and our vets and our flag, I think tucked on just about every team, there really are some folks doing what you've described or trying to have a better dialogue or try to just kind of take things in a different direction. They don't get covered as much. I think they do exist. Not enough because...
Well, if they do that, then why is the need for this protest?
Because for some, it will never be enough until they are able to draw the attention to themselves, their gripe, their soapbox, their bullhorn, their cause, their passions, because this entire anthem protest thing is at its base narcissism and self-absorption. Sure, they care about the issue. I know that. We all have issues we care about. But at the moment you do that, it becomes a dog and pony show that's all about you. And on any
NFL, that's the left. It's all a dog and pony show on everything.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't care that they have a liberal view about something. I don't care that they have it is not a liberal view to say we might have some issues on race and policing in this country. We probably do. We definitely do. But an anthem hating protest is never going to be the way to draw attention to it. And some folk just don't get that, but we're going to show them the what is and is not accepted on a sideline. The NFL may do half the job, we'll do the other half. Bless you, man. 932, Mark Davis, Nikki Whaley is in the newsroom for Gordon Griffin. Little Toad. Toad the Wet Sprocket. What was Sprocket? I said, this is Something's Always Wrong. Sprockets. Mike Myers, right? It was like this weird German public access cable show. This is the butt of Sprockets where we dance. Okay. But between that and the Flintstones reference this morning, I am Early, you are Sven. There's actually an Olean Sven. You know what I then learned? My dad told me. And I guess when you're in the military, you hear international jokes about everybody. And we were in England for 2 years. Dad was in the Air Force attaché at the American Embassy in London, 63 to 65. Very cool first and second grade for your boy here. Anyway, though, and it was 1963 when that Flintstones episode was on. It was many years later. And I was laughing about something. I am Ole, you are Sven. And my dad said, yeah, that Ole and Sven are like the basis of Swedish jokes. I didn't know there was such a thing as Swedish jokes, but there apparently are. So anyway, okay, no joke here. Shall we do this?
Report to the Mark Davis Show Facebook page immediately. This is not a drill.
Gave a password 20-some minutes ago, and show's about done, so it's not like I can lollygag around on this all day. Give me that password back. The first five of you whom we can confirm that you'll go and you mean it and you're there, 11:30 listener lunch at Crossroads Diner next Wednesday. First five of you doing it. Comment section, comment section, comment section. Not a personal message, a DM, a BM, an A&M, or whatever M. In the comment section, they're beneath the template that Rhonda is putting up. First time takers, and I love all people. When do I get to come back to listener lunch? I don't know. We only do six of these a year. I know they seem to arise a lot, but I want to pack the room with people that have never done it before, okay? Doesn't make me a bad person. So first timers, please, and that is at the Mark Davis Show, Mark Davis Show Facebook page. All righty. We're in Plano. Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby. Mark Davis, how are you?
Hey, I'm sorry. I slipped. Am I on the air?
Yes, here you are.
Okay, man. First of all, I agree with you 90% of the time.
Yeah.
This is the first time I agree with you 1,000% of the time.
We've ramped it up.
Somebody touches my family.
Yep.
I've had a good run.
Yep.
I'm not much younger than you. I've had a good run.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I know. Simple. But we got to this is why I love this show. I walk in here and start saying things, and then somebody calls me up and asks, hey, did you really mean that? And the answer is almost always, of course, yes. I'm not making stuff up. But in the instance of the scenario of the kid at Whataburger who got attacked for his MAGA hat, I said, if that's my kid, I'm going to be the one they're booking, because I'm going to chase that guy down and I'm going to kill him. And then a guy called me back and said, hey, Mark, did you like really mean that? I said, okay, if you're gonna hold me to literalism, I'll want to chase him down and rip him limb from limb, but the law and the Lord require more of me, and I would probably pay attention to both. So in all seriousness, the blather is fun, and we mean it, and we mean that would be the feeling that we would have. It would be our job to subdue it. Because actually, quite frankly, if you did do that, if you did chase the kid down and just absolutely beat his head against the curb in front of his house, then the son whom you were there to defend would be without a dad for the rest of his childhood. So are you happy then?
Good point.
Yes.
I get that.
Because you know why? Because when parents commit crimes, family separation occurs. Gee, what might we apply that to?
It's still, I feel the same way about my family as you do. So.
Precisely. That would be the instinct, and we would then subdue that instinct and go through all proper channels to prosecute the person to the fullest extent of the law. However,
quite possibly.
Quite possibly. You have to consult with me as it's happening. Here's the thing.
But, you're my psychologist.
No, so. Well, be afraid, be very afraid. But but you know what? First of all, it tends not to happen when a protective father or something is there. We'd be talking about something like the guy with his truck and the Trump sticker. Sometimes my wife has the truck and she's not with me and I can't protect her. If I'm there with my wife, if I'm there with my son, then it throws down. Then the rodeo is on. But we're generally talking about it's happened because you weren't there. Then what can you do after the fact?
Exactly.
There you go.
Now, my wife has a Trump sticker, and I wouldn't let her put it on her truck for that very reason.
I totally get it. Why do I totally get it, and yet my heart sinks at the same time?
Because she's like, you made the point earlier. Come on. You made the point. I'm not there all the time.
Yeah. And if this is Maxine.
I do have a short story for you.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I know an inspector, a very renowned inspector in a city that I won't mention because I don't want him to get in trouble. He had, have you ever seen the Proud Infidel sticker on your car?
Sure.
Or on people's?
Sure.
Okay, he had one of those. He was run off the road by three Muslims, and he had to brandish his gun. And because of his position with a particular city, he had to just suck it up and drive on.
Wow.
The next one, he caught somebody when he stopped for lunch, and I don't know what, I don't know what fast food restaurant, but he walked out. And he caught somebody trying to peel with a razor blade, tearing up his truck, trying to peel the bumper sticker off of his truck.
That's fairly low-grade vandalism, but you know what? Leave my truck alone! Leave my truck alone!
And he grabbed the kid, or the guy, and said, I can kill you. It's semi-legal.
Oh my God.
I'm not.
Well, that's, that's one way to handle it.
Most inspectors, real inspectors, are pretty big guys because they come from the construction industry, which is where I work. And he said, man, finally, I had to take it off my truck. I couldn't, I couldn't risk my job. I couldn't risk my family. But the left is killing us with this nonsense. And I don't know how to fight back.
Well, okay. Okay, first of all, the left is annoying us. They're giving us moments of concern, but this behavior from them, the Maxine Waters rant, the apoplectic behavior that you describe, while it is something we got to keep our eyes peeled and our heads on a swivel, it's evidence of our victory. It is evidence that our victory is underway. Because if things were just kind of whistling along, if Hillary had won, would this be happening? No. Heck, if Jeb had won, would this be happening? No. The change is real, and that's why they're freaking out. So if they're far from killing us, they're alerting us to just how sick some of them can be. We are vigilant, we are ready, and we will fight back. I love you, man. Thanks. Real quick, I did do this every once in a while. Because what was that, Bobby in Plano? And every once in a while, I'll do this. Hey, Bobby! Now, what's that a reference to? That would be Fred Wesley and the JBs and Pass the Peas.
Hey, Bobby, why do you like soul food?
Because it makes me happy.
There you go. So every once in a while, and Fred Wesley was the trombone player for James Brown. That hence their backing band, Fred Wesley and the JBs. This is Pass the Peas. And the first time I played that, like forever ago, hey, Bobby, why do you like soul food? I mean, I've used that as a drop like all the time. So if I have a caller, and I go, hey, Bobby, in Grapevine, I just hear that in my head. Hey, Bobby. That's the it's life in my brain. 866-660-5759. Okay, this is so awesome. You ready for this? Speaking of chronicling the Never Trump cult, Bill Kristol. I miss Bill Kristol. I miss him. I spent a lifetime welcoming him to the show, and I still would, but it would just be so unfortunate and tense. It's not right. I mean, there's no point that I would tell him that I haven't made already to their faces and about them. And it's just counterproductive. He has a mental illness. Never Trump is a mental illness. And it doesn't mean you have to like him or love him. Or, I mean, anything like that. But if you sacrifice your conservatism on the altar of Trump hatred. And my bar for this is very high. You can say, man, I'm conservative, but a whole lot of the stuff that Trump does makes me crazy. Even that's okay. I'll tell you to get a grip. But no, I mean the visceral Max Boot, Bill Kristol, you know, Nicole Wallace, Tara Settmeyer, that kind of thing. That's a perceptual disorder. So here we go. Bill Kristol's tweet. You can be pro-Kavanaugh and anti-Trump. You can be pro-Kavanaugh and anti-Trump. In reply, the tweet of Britt Hume. I suppose you can also be pro-tax cuts, pro-deregulation, pro-defense increases, pro-gun rights, pro-life, and anti-Trump. But at some point, it begins to seem ridiculous. Britt Hume. Love him. All righty, let's see. 9:48. Oh, I've always got 30 seconds for this. In Flower Mound, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. Hi. Quick testimonial.
Yes.
Thank you for turning me on to the Josh DeShong agency.
Yes.
We had another agency that tried to sell our house for over a month, and they were just kind of very negative and really unsupportive. And Josh DeShong, they came in here, and they gave us a team of people. They gave us a professional photographer. They gave us people who came in there and helped us with the staging and sold the house in 5 days. And I can't thank you enough. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, I live for stuff like this because I'm not just making this stuff up. Did it for Lisa and me, too. And to know that it also happened for you, I'm thrilled. Josh is thrilled. He'll be thrilled to get an excerpt of this call. So thank you, man. I appreciate it very, 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 very much. All right. I assume we have our winners. We probably had our five within about 30 seconds. Okay. Good, good, good. Don't worry. More to come. More to come. Don't go dark on me. We'll have other giveaways. The listener lunch at Crossroads Diner is Wednesday of next week. We got 2 days left this week, so I'll find other deliciously creative ways to do some giveaways. Frequently don't involve jumping through Facebook hoops, so just sit tight, sit tight. Who's your buddy? Got your back. Alrighty, I need to find a nifty. You know what I'm going to do? Here we go. Song I heard, it was an earworm of mine a couple of decades ago, and somebody was playing it on some Sirius XM channel. Been in my head, and I'm going to put it in your head for our exit tune next. Remember Mr. Big? Yeah, I didn't either, but then I'm driving around listening to some channel. They were formed in 1988 around Los Angeles. Mostly people of fairly serious musicianship who had played with other people in other bands. And from 1992 to Be With You.
I'm the one who wants to be with you.
I'm the one.
Deep inside, I hope you'll feel it too.
So as we bid farewell until 5, because I'm doing Larry Elder today, woohoo! Woohoo! For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at producer Rhonda K, capital R-O-N-D-A, capital K, on Twitter. Technical guru Shane Bell, Shane Bell Band, Facebook, Twitter, ShaneBellBand.com for gigs, releases, videos, other cool stuff. Nikki Whaley in for Gordon Griffin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless our country. God bless our troops. God bless our family. Mike Gallagher is next, then Dennis Prager, then Sean Hannity, and then I'm back. Woo-hoo. See you at 5 on the Larry Elder Show, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis, and always go to The Mark Davis Show on Facebook. And we'll see you tomorrow at 7.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.